that much. Okay, gentlemen, we're beginning on Yud Dal Ramad Aleph. If Hashem helps us, we'll get up to the Mishnah today. Okay, we're about 12 to 13 lines from the bottom of 14a. The first word on the line, Gufa. We're going to go back to the Braisa that we cited of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who says that there are four general rules about private domain, about domains where damages happen. So let's go take a refresh our memory on that. Well, so now the pages takes a while to crank up. First time in the morning, just. All right. If you recall, we had point 20. Look at point 20 right at the top. Shimon ben Elazar says there are four general rules in damages. Again. In the property of only the victim, right, one is liable for everything. If your animal goes into the victim's property, you pay everything. Even Karen pays Nezek Shalim for a Tom. You pay everything. In the property only the damager, one is exempt for everything. If you went into my property and I damage, I don't pay nothing. In the property of the victim and the damager, such as a joint yard or a valley, one is exempt from Shane and Regal, a liable for Karen and its toldos. A Tom pays half damage, and one pays full damage. And that was the whole explanation. We had all the discussion. What does that mean exactly? What does that mean? There's a whole machlokas. What does that mean? How many drinks did he bring in?
That's all
on. Just put it right in that little hallway of the kitchen, as close to the table or on the table as possible. Okay, thank you. Okay, that was the third case. The fourth case is the one we're going to analyze. In the property not of the victim and the damager, such that such a yard that is not of both of them or a valley, one is liable for Shane and Regal. Okay, you're liable for Shane and Regal. You're liable for Karen and its toldos. A Tom pays half damage and a Muad pays full damage. Okay, so now the question is, so what does it mean, a property not of the victim and of the damager? What does that mean? So what is it then? What is it? If it's not of the victim and not of the damager, so what is it? Well, if you want to say it's public, first of all, there's a problem. Because if it's public, do you pay for Shane Varegal in a public domain? If on Bathurst Street somebody leaves his vegetables on vegetables and my cow steps all over it, I don't pay for it. I have full rights to go on a public thoroughfare. You have no business putting anything in a public thoroughfare. Right? What is this saying in the fourth case over here? One pays, right? One is liable for Shane and Rego. We're not talking about a public thoroughfare, Rosh Hashanah Rabban, because then you... Okay, so that might be, that's the way the Gemara is going to start the game off. All right, that's a good guess. All right, but then Gemara is going to say that, and Gemara is going to have problems with that. But that's what the discussion is going to be. And we're going to be focusing on two parts of this Braisa. All right, but these are the four parts of the Braisa. All we want to know, the central issue is going to be, for Sugya 20, according to which Tana does the above Braisa of Rabbi Elazar hold like? Okay? And we're going to explain the four. We're going to see which case we're focusing on over here. All right? That's where we're at. So even though if you weren't here yesterday, it's like starting this part of the Sugya fresh. Okay, so let's now begin inside 14a. It goes, the Sugya ends at the bottom of the page and one line at the top. So let's see how far we can go. Gemara says, Gufa. Gufa means... That goof means a body. That text that we just discussed, this, let's go back to that text that we brought in regarding a broader issue. Now let's focus on this Braisa of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Let's go over and I'm going to repeat the main part of this Braisa. Arba, klalos hayu Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Omer ben Izakin, Reb Shimon ben Elazar would say four general rules with respect to the liability of damages. And now we come to the very last, the first case is, or the second case, Kol shehu rishus la nizik v'lo lamazik. In any place that a premise is the damaged party, but not for the damager. Okay, in other words, this is the first case, rather. The first case, where it's the nizak, the damagee's party, and the damager is not going to be there. What did the Mishnah, what did the Braisa say? Chayav bakol. Chayav bakol. What does literally the word chayav bakol mean? The damager is liable bakol, in all. Now that word bakol is an interesting word. What did it not say? It did not say, Gemara deduces, al hakol lo katani. It didn't say your chayav al hakol means for everything. It didn't say for everything. What word did it say? Bakol. In full. In everything. It can't mean in everything. It means in full. Kol means the whole amount. Kol can mean everything. Kol can mean the full amount. You have to know what the preposition before is saying. Bakol literally means in all. What does in all mean? Full amount. It did not say al hakol, which means for everything. So why did the Braisa say that? Now, if it would have said for all al hakol, which would mean that he is liable for all types of damage, be it Shane, regular Karen, that would be a simple way of saying it. But why did it say Ella? But it said Chayav Bakol. It says rather you're liable in full. What is that in full saying? Now I already spoke it out, but he's going to say it means to say in full means Bekuli Nasek, the full amount of damage, meaning in a case where the ox gores and is a tom, instead of saying you pay for everything, means you pay Shane, Regal, and Karen depending if it's a tom or a mud, it said, Bako, you pay in full, meaning a tom, Karen, which normally pays half, you pay full if you're going into the damagee's property. That's what the price means by that one little letter. Instead of saying al hakol for everything, he says bakol in all means you're paying full damages. What's the insight? Even though normally a tam only pays half by Karen, if you go into the victim's field, you pay full amount the first time. That's what this Brisa is saying. Okay? I said it to you the whole time, but this is the Gemara's deducing that, because you could have thought maybe I'm only pay half. No. Now the Gemara wants to ask a simple question. We know Rabbi Shimon had these rules, but where did he get these rules from? The Gemara now asks, Mani, whose opinion is Rabbi Shimon Elazar reflecting? Which one of the big opinions out there is he reflecting? Because it seems there's a machlokas about this. There's a machlokas. If my animal goes into your field and damages you with Karen, does the Tom pay full or not? Rabbi Shimon Elazar seems to be quoting who? Rabbi Tarfon, he is quoting Rabbi Tarfon. That's going to be later in the second chapter, and maybe we'll get that far this year. In the second chapter, there's a Mishnah that says the following. Rabbi Tarfon says, the Amar, he says, Mishune Karen Bachatzar Hanizak. He says, for abnormal, Mishune means abnormal, abnormal Karen, a.k.a. Atam. In other words, a normal ox doesn't gore. So if an abnormal Karen, meaning a tom, that's mishunet Karen is another way of saying a tom that gores. If a tom gores, where? Bachatzar hanizik, in the yard of the damaged party, what's the law? Nezek sholim isham, he pays full damages. That's Rabbi Tarfon. This price, if I say the word bakol, is saying like Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, now there's another opinion who argues on that. There's a Chachamim who argues and says, no, you only pay half. So the way this Braisa was worded is telling you that Rabbi Shimon Lazar seems to be saying, I go like the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. He goes like Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. So the first of the four rules of this Braisa that says that when the animal damages in the damagee's property, you pay bakol for the entire amount, that is going like the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that way, and there's an opinion that differs on Rabbi Tarfon, says you only pay half. So it's going like Rabbi Tarfon. So that's not a problem. But you gotta be consistent now. So now the Gemara says, okay, you tell me the very first halacha goes to Rabbi Tarvin, you pay the full amount. So Ema Seifa, let's take a look at the fourth case. And you see what's going to happen here. We're going to prove that the fourth case is not like Rabbi Tarfon. That's what it's going to get to. And what do you mean? The beginning is like Rabbi Tarfon, the end is not like Rabbi Tarfon? No, but how we do that? Let's now understand what was that fourth case that we discussed a few minutes ago that Rick gave us a suggestion what it means. The fourth case is of the bride. So we're skipping from the first to the fourth case. Lola Zev, Lola Zev. What if the damage happened to property that's not of the damager and not of the damagee? For example, so what does that mean? Kigon, chatzer she'eno shel shneim. Let's say that it is. It doesn't belong to either one of them. What does the brisa say? Chayev bo, you pay al shein v'al regel. You pay for shein regel. That's the brisa. So now, what does it mean when it says it doesn't belong to either one of them? That's what more asks. My, what does it mean? Lo lezev v'lo lezev. It doesn't belong to this one, and it doesn't belong to that one. What does the brisa mean? So if you think the simple meaning, ilema, if the brisa, when it said, lulazet, lulazet, klau, it doesn't belong to this one or that one, klau, at all. No rights at all to be there. Neither one has any rights, but rather what? Ella da'acher, but rather a third party's field. You know, Reuven's ox gores Shimon's ox in Levi's field. As Rick suggested, that seems to be what the brisa must be saying. But what's the problem with that? What's the problem with that? When it discusses the damage of Shein and Regel, the pasuk gives us a very important condition. And what is that condition? Ubier bistei acher. It damages in another person's field. Shein and Regel has to have a component of another person's field. Meaning, what does another person's field mean?
Not yours.
Means that guy got damaged. That's a simple meaning, another person's field. The guy's field that you damaged.
But, can't just mean another person?
Well, because that wouldn't matter. You'll see. Hold on. Let's just read it. But Eina, we need Ubir Bistei Acher. We need the damage to be. It consumes in another field. Hold on. Valeka. And you don't have that in this case. In this case, not because the damage did not occur in the field of the damaged party. Okay, point 28. The requirement that damage take place in the field of another does not simply mean that the field must not belong to the damager, the way Shelley was about to think it means. It also means that the field must belong to the damaged party. That's how the Gemara understands that pasuk. It damaged in another person's field the damaged party. That's how they learn it. Thus, if it takes place in the field of a third party, the damager is not liable for shein or regel. So it can't mean just a third guy's party, because then it's not another guy's field. Another guy means another guy, the guy who got damaged. That's the simple meaning of the text. It went into another field, another guy's field. Right? So now, because if you want to say, that's how they learn it. I hear what you want to say. Gemara says no. And it's like,
another field, so
they're not learning it that way. Gemara's not learning it that way. Gemara's not learning it that way.
I mean, I guess you could say if it was a third party's field, nobody had the right to be there, so you shouldn't have
had. And the other guy also. The other guy also had no right to be there.
The damagee, the damager can say, your options have been there in the first place. Anyway.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So that's what, good. So what's the case? So Rick's good idea doesn't work out technically because the pasuk says it doesn't work. So now we have to make a dochek pshat. We have to come with a pressed pshat. So it says, the wording is kind of, it says, lo lezeh, not to this, velo lezeh, not to that. Why is such an extra wording? Just say, lo lezeh, ulezeh. Not for this or this guy. It said, lo lezeh, and the extra word, velo lezeh. And this gives us license to say the following pshat. Ella, what do you gotta say? Ella pshita. You gotta say, the only way we can learn it is, Lola said, Velola said, it doesn't belong to this one after that one, meaning it's not jointly owned. Lola said, Lola said, it's not jointly owned. Ela dechad, but it's only owned by one. Right? In other words, it's not both this one and that one, but just one of them. Namely what? The damaged party. The damaged party. Look at footnote 29. It did not belong to both of them, but only to one. Similarly, when the Braisa illustrates this rule with the case of a yard that does not belong to the two of them, it means that it does not belong to the two of them jointly, but rather to just one. That's a problem. Seemingly, according to this explanation, this rule merely repeats the earlier rule regarding the domain of the damaged party. See note 37 for an explanation of the deal with that. In other words, it comes up the fourth is saying the same as the first.
It wouldn't repeat it.
All right, so we'll have to deal with that. We'll have to deal with that. That's a little bit of a problem. One second. Yeah.
A property that's not owned, that's owned by the guy who was damaged and someone else, a third party. So there were two people who owned it. Only one of those two people.
Okay, so we'll see. But that's how he learns it. Okay, and what does it say? So what does the Seifa say under that circumstance? Now, the Reisha, when it talked about if the damaged party, you pay everything in full, right? Remember the Reisha? The first case? What was the first case? If it's in the damaged party, you pay full. Everything. 100%. What does it say over here? You pay for Shane and Regel, but you pay for a half of a Tom and all for a Mu'ud. That was the fourth scenario. Uktani Seifa, and it says in the Seifa, that what's the law in the damaged party? Tam mishalem chatzi nezek, umud mishalem nezek shalem. The Tam only pays half in the damagee's party. And who is that like? That's not Rabbi Tarfon, is it, eh? Who is that like? Asan l'Rabbanan. This ruling only comes according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. Because over there, and Daf Chav Dalar over there, the rabbis say, to Amri, what are the Rabbanan, who are you and Rabbi Tarfon, they say? Meshuna Karen, an unusual Karen, meaning a Tom that goes, but Chatzara Nizek, Chatzi Nezek u'Mishalem, you only pay half. So now we got a problem. If we're saying the fourth case, it doesn't belong to this one after that one, but rather only belongs to one. Who's the one, the damagee? And it says, by a Tom, you only pay half. That goes according to the rabbis. So what if we now come to the full circle? The Gemara concludes the question. You're going to tell me Reisha Rabbi Tarfon v'Seifa Rabbanan? You're going to tell me that the first case of the Mishnah Braisa is Rabbi Tarfon, who says in the damagee's property you pay everything in the full amount for Karen of a Tom? V'Seifa Rabbanan in the last case, which is the same scenario it would appear, your pay only half by a Tom, then it only goes like the Rabbanan. Is that what we're going to say? That's not such a good way of learning the Braisa. Notwithstanding our question, that what's that? Now, obviously, the Gemara doesn't ask, but wait a minute, the Braisa is contradicting itself. The first case is the fourth case. We said there were four rules. Now you tell me three rules. Yeah. Tell me one rule twice. Put that question to the side. The Gemara is just saying simple. The Reisha can only be like Rabbi Tarfon, who says you pay the full amount of Karen Tom in Rishus HaNizek, while the fourth case, which we seem to say that's the case of Karen Tom Rishus HaNizek, is like the Rabbanan. Is that what's going to happen? Let's take a look at the notes. Point one. Statement of the Braisa. Rav Shimon Lazar said there are four general rules of damages. First rule, in the property of only the victim, one is liable in all. Inference, it says in all, not all. This implies that it pays full damage. Conclusion of that is, this is like Rabbi Tarfon, who says that Karen pays full damage in the victim's rishus, in the victim's property. Four, question from the Seif of the Braisa. The fourth case says, in Rishus, not of the victim and damager, such a yard that is not of both of them or a valley, one is liable for Shane and Regel. Question of understanding. What does Rishus, not of the victim and damager, mean? Suggestion belongs to someone else. Rejection. The Torah obligates only when it consumed another's fields, i.e. the payers of the field's owner, not somebody else. Answer, rather, it's not of both of them jointly, but only of one, the victim. Let me add the word jointly. But only of the victim. And what does that Braisa say? Point nine, the Braisa continues. For Karen, and it's told us, a Tom pays full damage and a Mu'ud pays half damage, and a Mu'ud pays full damage. Conclusion, this is like Chachamim, who say that Karen pays half damage in the premises of the victim. Okay, let's just say over here on point three, just know which Rabbi Tarfon is. Later on, in 24, I think B, maybe A, whatever. So this is like the Chachamim later on in 24B. Summation of question. Can the Reisha be like Reb Tarfon and the end as Chachamim? That's the problem. Got that? That's the question. Moore's going to give us two answers. Answer number one is, you're not going to like this answer? Aim. Yes. Yes, we can indeed say that the Bryce is formulated in this way. How do we know this? Because we're going to learn later on, in a later Mishnah in this Masechta, Gemara says the same thing about a Mishnah. We don't need to know the details of that other Mishnah. Deha Amar Le, Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Later on, in 15b, Shmuel will tell Rav Yehuda, with respect to our Mishnah, we don't need to know all the details, but simply in another Mishnah, one ruling seems to conflict with another ruling within the Mishnah. Gemara talks about it. And Shmuel told Rav Yehuda over there, Shinina, O sharp one. That was a term he used to describe Yehuda. Shvok Masnisin, V'tabasrai, leave the Mishnah alone and follow after me. In other words, stop trying to figure out Pshat in the Mishnah, go after me and look what I say. And that's over there in that Mishnah. In that Mishnah, Reisha Rabbi Tarfon, the first statement of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Tarfon, same Rabbi Tarfon, V'seva, and the second part of the Mishnah is Rabbanan's Rabbanan. So we're going to see later on, when we learn the Mishnah, we're forced to say that one part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Tarfon, the other part is like Rabbanan. So guess what? We'll say the same thing in this Mishnah. See, point 33. Since we see that even when Rebbe redacted the Mishnah, he incorporated both views into an anonymous Mishnah, which not surprises, the same was done in the Braisa. Okay, so therefore, that's what we got to say. The Braisa, the way he wrote it, there are four rules. So rule number one fits according to Rebbe Tarfon. Rule number four fits like the Rabban and took an eclectic approach in explaining all the rules. This is not the most magnificent answer in the world. If you don't have anything better to say, you say it. I guess in that Mishnah that we will learn, we'll get to 15b pretty soon. We had no choice. We had to learn the Mishnah that way. The Mishnah is using two different conflicting opinions. I guess we'll have to say the Braisa works that way as well. However, there's another solution to this problem. You know, that's not the best solution in the world. And remember, there's still lingering in the back of our minds, but I understand it's not. He said there's four rules. Well, one and four is the exact same rule. People are arguing with each other. For some reason, the board doesn't want to ask that question right away. That would seem to be the most obvious question. You're telling me the first case and the fourth case are the same things. And you know, if you want to say the fourth is a different scenario, a different kind of case, according to a different rabbi. Okay, but this is like mamish. One and four are totally arguing on each other. What kind of four? But anyway, more for some reason, I don't want to ask that question. But more is going to give another answer to this solution. And maybe that'll make life better for everybody. Ravina Mishmei de Rava Amar. Ravina says in the name of Rava. No, perhaps we can learn the Mishnah this way. We could learn the Mishnah. Kula Rabbi Tarfon. It's all Rabbi Tarfon. And Rabbi Tarfon says, again, if you damage in the Nizek's property, you pay the full amount of Shor Tom, Karen Tom, full amount. How do we learn the fourth case? How do we learn the fourth case? And we thought the only way to learn the fourth case, it doesn't belong to both of them together, but only one guy, the damagee. He says, well, maybe there's another way to learn the fourth case. The only reason we had a problem is because we had no better way to learn the fourth case, which seemed to be similar to the first case. But maybe there's another way we could learn the fourth case. Let's say the whole price is like Rabbi Tarfon. Umayyan, what did the fourth case mean when it said, lo lezeh velo lezeh? It says, it doesn't belong to this one and it doesn't belong to this one. What does it mean? Perhaps we can explain it like this. Lo lezeh velo lezeh. It doesn't belong to them. Leperis, for fruits. Eladechad, but only for one. To the damagee. In other words, it refers to a place that is not designated for both this one and that one to use for produce, but just for one of them, the damaged party. Wait. So in other words, only one of them can bring fruits. We go on. But it does belong to both of them. But both of them, Leshvarim, can bring their oxen in there. In other words, case four is, it doesn't belong to this one and to this one, meaning totally the same with full rights, like the third case was totally the same with equal rights. Here it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. They both don't have similar rights. Lola Zeb, Lola Zeb with similar rights. Meaning they both have rights to bring an ox in, but they don't have a right both to bring fruits. Only one guy can bring the fruits in. So now, think in your mind, now, if that was the deal, we are partners, and the partnership is, we can both bring our oxen in here, but only you could bring your fruits in here. So what are we really saying? Think about this. If I can bring my fruits in and you can't bring your fruits, that means you're going to have to watch out for my fruits. I have the right to have the fruits here. The fact we both can bring our oxen in here, what does that mean to say? Well, so whatever oxen do to oxen, it might not be so bad, but the fruits could be a problem. So let's see how this evolves. Let's see how it works out if you can both bring your oxen in here, but only one guy can bring fruit. That's what it means. Lola Zev, Lola Zev. It's not jointly that they both have full equal rights together. Whatever one can do, the other one can do. The other one can't do, the other one can't do. They're equally equal. Rather, it's not totally equal. Lola Zev, Lola Zev. They're both not totally equal. They both can bring oxen, but only one can bring the fruits, and the other one cannot. Okay? Okay? That's what he's saying. So now let's see how the Gemara draws the conclusions. So it comes out like what? Dilagabe Shane, when it comes to Shane eating or regel, whose party is it considered like? It's deemed Havalei Chatzar Nizik. It's called a damaged party since only he may use it for produce. 36. Since only the damaged party has a right to keep produce there, this yard is considered the field of another in respect to produce. Even though the Mazik's allowed to bring his ox there, but he's not allowed to bring his produce. Right? Now it's interesting, although the Gemara above stated that where the Mazik is allowed to bring his animal to the yard, it is not considered the field of another, it's only in a case where both have use of the yard for produce. But where only the damaged party can use it for produce, it is considered the field of another with regard to Shane or Regal damage, even though the Mazik is allowed to bring his ox there. You see? Since I can, why did we make this deal that I can bring the produce and you not? Must be my produce, it has to be protected. Right? That's what, why do I get this benefit and you don't? And obviously, when we bought the land, I paid more and you paid less because I have more. So that's what it says. When you do that, you pay for the shade and regal, because this is your another person's field, since you can't put your fruits there. But what about Karen? Legabe Karen, but regarding Goring, the fact they both can bring their oxen there, what does it make it like? Havalei Rishus or Rabin. Insofar as they're dealing, it's like a public domain, where both partners have permission to bring it, and therefore what happens in a public domain? For an ox you pay half, a tom, and a mowage you pay full. So that's what's coming on over there. We're speaking in a case where it doesn't belong to both of them equally with equal rights. They both can bring oxen, and regarding the oxen, since they have equal rights as oxen, you pay half damage. It's not like the first case that's only the Nizik's property, and there the Tom pays full. No, they both can bring their oxen. What do you mean it doesn't belong? Well, they not belong equally. The one can bring fruits, the other one can't bring fruits. And that's how you learn the brisa. The first case of the brisa is only the Nizik can be there. Therefore, you pay the full amount for everything and everything. The fourth case doesn't belong to both of them equally, meaning that they both can bring oxen, but only one can bring fruits. And therefore, for the fruits, you pay the damage of fruits, because that's the other person's field regarding the fruits. Regarding the oxen, they both can go in there. It's like a public domain where you pay half for the nezek of the tom. And that's a wonderful way to explain the mish, the brisa, all according to Rabbi Tarfon. Yeah?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, I get all that.
Good.
But if you agree that the other guy can both bring your oxen and only you can bring fruit, you're taking a risk by allowing the oxen to come in there. So shouldn't you... Since you're agreeing to that risk, therefore why should the other guy be liable?
Because since the other guy knows you're allowed to put it there, he is the one who's taking the risk. If I know that he's allowed to bring fruits, in other words, why are we saying I can bring fruits and you can't? It means my fruits have to be protected. Otherwise, what's the point of me being allowed to put fruits in here? If we make a deal that I can bring my fruits here, why are we making that deal if your ox can damage it anyway? In other words, you can keep your ox in here, keep your ox in here, but he has to stay away from the fruits. That's when you bring your ox in, you know, since you've allowed me. In other words, let's say we both desperately need a place to store our oxen. We both desperate. We don't have. There's one spot available. The guy says, listen. And the guy says, you know, to buy this field is $10,000. I only got $1,000. I can kick in $1,000, you pay $9,000. The other guy's got $9,000, doesn't have $10,000. He says, okay, I'm going to do that. I'll tell you what. You can use it only that you can bring your ox there. That's it. But it's not home on the range. In other words, there will be a point where a person's willing to pay a lot more and the other guy can take a lot less from a guy, but you don't have a lot of rights. Put, you want to use it, the ox? Good. Use it. Make a pen. Put a corral in. Keep him there and make sure to touch my fruits because I need a full service farm. You only need a half service farm. Fine. So you'll pay less. Let's say I'll pay 2/3, you'll pay 1/3. But you realize if I'm using it for full service, keep your ox away. That's how they understand that. So now there's one last problem. I want to finish this so we don't have to come back to this on Monday. So another 3-4 minutes. Gemara does have a question on this. If that's the case, the Gemara challenges this and says, Ihachi, if so, if the final rule speaks in a case in which only the damaged party has the right for the produce and both have the right for oxen, little problem. Arba'ah, it says there are 4 general rules. Doesn't say there's 4 general rules. But now, Shloshahave, there's really only 3 rules. Meaning to say, the last case really is just a combination of the previously existing rules. It's a combination on the one hand regarding the fruits, it's the Nizik's property. Regarding the oxen, it's like the third case where they both have permission. The fourth case is really a combination of case 1 and 3 put together. There's no new law that we didn't know from the fourth case. I can bring fruits, but you can't. We can both bring oxen. So for the fruits, you pay the full amount. That's like the case of an Nizik's property. That's like case 1. The first part of case 4 is really case 1. The second part, we both bring our oxen is, and we pay half for a tom. That's like the case 3. So really, there's no new law in case 4. It's just a combination of case 1 and case 3. So why do you tell me there's 4 rules? Case 4 is really rule 1 and 3 put together.
That's usually... say there's yes, there's no, and there's both. That's
but there's no new law. Look at 37. If the final rule of the Bryce refers to yard that is considered the premise of the Nizik with respect to Shane and Regel, and a public domain with respect to Karen, that does not teach us anything that we did not already know from the first 3 rules. For the first rule, blah blah blah, teaches that one is liable for Shane and Regel in the case of in such a case, and the third rule teaches that one is liable to only half damage for case. Right? So that, now if you would have learned, okay, so that's enough. So that's the question. Some more answers. You know what? You're right. But, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amar Yitzchak answers, going on to the next page, 14b, it's going to take a long time for it to kick itself going. He said, but you know what? He didn't mean to say 4 new ideas, but he meant Shlolosh, Klolos, Barbon, Komos. He said, there might be 3 rules, but they apply in 4 places. In other words, the fourth place is a different place. It's a place where you can only, one can bring fruits, both can bring oxen. That's a different kind of a place. You're right, it's 3 general rules, but he said 4 rules, he meant to say 4 places. Point 1. The Gemara concedes that in fact there are only 3 laws that apply to these cases. You know, and there he goes through the 3. Bottom line, however, the Bryce speaks of 4 rules because they are really 2 types of jointly owned yards, those in which the rule is stated above, and those in which there's liability for shade and regal damage, blah, 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 blah. But it's just telling there's 4 types of properties. That's what it means to say 4 types of properties, and indeed not 3 rules. And that is what the notes tell us. Summation of the question 11. Can the Braisa be the Rebbe Tarfon in the end Chachamim? Answer number 1, yes. The same way it is in understanding Mishnah 15b. Answer number 2 of Ravina, the entire Braisa is like Rebbe Tarfon, and the Seifa saying the following. Then the Seifa is... is saying the following. It is a reshus not of the victim damager means, rather only of the victim, regarding peros, and both allowed to bring their animals in. Regarding Shane, it is a reshus of the victim. Regarding Karen, it is like a reshus harabim. Question of Sol, Rav Shimon Elazar only gave three general rules, not four, since the last one was already known from the previous rules. Answer, he gives three rules in four places. So the conclusion we shall have to write, the conclusion is the Brisa, you know,
don't do that,
can most likely be like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and we have to explain the fourth case a little bit differently. And that will be the two conclusions that I'm going to write now afterwards. And to next week, we start a brand new Mishnah. Thank you.